You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the couch. With Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, one of the country's most listened to internet talk stations. Yeah, the one that's irreverent and cool and entertaining. That's us. Uh-huh. Happy day, everybody. As always, you're going to learn a lot. You know, I don't necessarily try to shrink you or, change your minds or change your patterns or behavior or whatever. But what I do is try to help you out with some of, you know, the things going on in your life, whether it be, you know, relationships or success, or you're having a fight with trying to find employment, or, you know, it's just if your life's a struggle and you're dealing with anxiety or stress or anything like that, I'm here to give you suggestions, you see. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. You know, there's always something you can learn here, guys. Let me first of all encourage you to call if you'd like to on the line. If you have any questions about what we're talking about, which we'll get into in just a little bit, you can do so here, 323-203-0815. That's a Los Angeles number. Yes, the entertainment mecca of the world. We're live. 323-203-0815. Give us a call. If you're shy and you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can, of course, email me at docmichelle@aol.com. docmichelle@aol.com. And I'll certainly take some of your email questions if you have them, or give us a call. We'd love to hear from you because we're open and we're here and we're ready. Hey, guys, what do you think about when you hear the term feminism? You know, many of my women friends and family members and even some of my patients, you know, they sometimes say, I don't want to come off like an angry feminist at work, but but my boss seems to treat the guys who have the same position at my company differently than me and all the other women, for that matter. And, you know, they say to me, oh, one of the issues that I hear, they say, I'm polite, I'm professional, I'm a team player. But it just feels kind of like all the women at my work are treated like they're less than a lot of the men. What's that about? What's going on there? I hear this a lot. And they say sometimes we feel like we're just treated lower, less than. You know, why is this still happening? And they ask me why this is. I don't know. I guess it's old stuff built in. We're going to find out more about why this is still possibly happening. You know, I also hear a lot of women say that the term feminist is outdated and too negative. But, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, we fought to have rights, you know, so we could make these choices for ourselves. We did, you know, in terms of jobs, financial possibilities, you know, educational and other, you know, just equal opportunities that a lot of guys just had naturally. So what's wrong with honoring these women who worked so hard to really, you know, support the advancement of rights for women and, you know, get them equal to men? Get us? We're working. But, you know, today we're going to find out how to help women and men understand. This is for you too, guys. We're going to find out how to find passions, grow careers, if you wish, if you want to have a career. No, there's no judgments, whatever you want to do. Just generally live happier and fuller lives. And again, guys who always listen to my show, the guys who email me, come on, I love to hear from you. The guys that get on the show, you get on the line, you give me a call at 323-203-0815. I'd love to hear from you as well. Just get at me. Just get angry. But don't go anywhere, anyone, because you're going to get to learn more about how women think and get a better understanding of us in general. And it'll help you guys, too, in your relationships and friendships, as well as in the workplace. So let's just get with it. I have a live in-studio guest, which is so awesome to have you here, Beata. Beata Shalette is a respected career coach, entrepreneur, and founder of The Women's Code. Nice to have you here.
Oh, I am so excited to be here, especially that we can do this together live in the studio. That's the best part.
Isn't this great?
It's awesome.
I love it. You know, and phone interviews are great because there's a lot of folks who don't live in Los Angeles, and you know, we have to do the phone thing, but this is much better. So we can look at each other and talk and have a good time here. You know, we're going to be talking about your company, The Women's Code, and your latest book, which, what a great book. It was such a good read.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And apparently, you know, going by what we talked about, you read the whole thing.
I did. It was good. I really did. Well, thank you. The book's called Happy Woman, Happy World, or Happy Women, Happy World. It's the foolproof fix that takes you from overwhelmed to awesome. And let me just let you guys know that Beata created the Women's Code online, and also it's a live community. It's a unique guide to personal and career success, offers some sort of a new code of conduct for today's business, private and digital world, which everybody needs to know that stuff. And also women who've gone through the, you know, online program have called it really transformational.
Yeah, it's absolutely. We see significant changes. It's a game changer.
Wow. Wow. You know, you've achieved the American dream. As we, you know, a lot of people say, she's done the American dream. She's done. You have. Oh, my goodness. Selling your company for millions to Bill Gates. What a superstar.
Thank you.
You know, can you tell us more about your upbringing and sort of your background and how you got from where you were to where you are now?
Of course, I'll be happy to. So, you know, it all started back in Germany. So I'm actually born and raised in Germany. And then I always felt that I wasn't really fitting in. I was a little bit unruly, the oddball out, the black sheep of the family. You know, couldn't follow the rules very well, didn't read instruction manuals, always had to find a different way to do things. And I was looking for a place where I could express myself without being judged. And, you know, I was doing, you know, traveling at the time. And so eventually I figured out that Los Angeles was going to be the place I wanted to be in. And by that time, I was already, you know, in the magazine world. So I went to photography school. So that's my actual degree.
Wow.
And I was a photo editor afterward, and I became a photo editor at Elle Magazine and ran the department when I was only 23 years old.
Great.
And then I felt I had sort of reached a certain level of success, and there was nothing else to do. So I wanted to find adventure. I'm proud to say it's not been a boring day since.
Good for you, girl. That's
and I came to the United States, and then, you know, I sort of just started to work for someone else. And eventually, in the first big recession, I had to set up my own company.
Yeah.
Had no idea what I was doing, and went through sort of the ups and downs that you go through. And then I entered what I call the decade of disaster.
Uh-oh. What was going on there?
You know, and this is sort of, I think, the really important part that we're going to talk about today, and the message I really want to share, the message of hope and courage and overcoming fears, is that sometimes when we go into these really dark places, we think it's the end, but really it is the beginning in disguise.
Good. That's, oh, I love that. That's very positive. And why do you say that?
Because, you know, when I when things started to happen to me, and it really all started in 1997, my daughter had an almost fatal asthma attack in the middle of the night, almost stopped breathing, had no idea what it was, found out it was secondhand smoke from my ex-husband that triggered this attack. And then I, you know, was really stressed out being a single mom. I developed IBS, which very few people really talk about.
No fun. That's no fun.
I used to joke that I could probably write the guide to traveling where the bathrooms are.
That's right. You always need to know these things, honey, when you have IBS, I'm telling you.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah, I know. I hear about this and
And, you know, and so I had health issues and I had, you know, I was stressing out. I was a single mom. And then sort of the first doomsday came, and my employee betrayed me and misappropriated trade secrets, stole clients, stole the whole business, conspired with a photographer. They set up their own business, and from there on, the hits just kept coming.
Yes.
And those were not little hits, right, but big hits. Mm. And it all kind of came to a head. So, you know, so bear with me. So, you know, I'm single. No. I have IBS. I'm stressing out. You know, I'm losing my business.
Your daughter has asthma, which is very serious.
My daughter has asthma. Yeah, yeah. Then I think I recover, and I sued both of them. I didn't know any better. So now I'm also in debt. But there's supposedly the production season coming, and I have $500,000 of production, still photography production here in Los Angeles on the books. Then September 11 comes.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
24 hours later, I had lost every job that I had on the books.
Right.
So that was only 6 months after I had been betrayed in the first place.
Oh.
So now we're adding all of that, and I have to figure out what I'm going to do. And I'm unemployable, let's face it.
Sure.
So I had to start from scratch again, and I have this great idea of building up the stock photography syndication, but I have no money.
Yeah.
You know, and somehow you sort of, you figure out, you go every day, a day at a time. Sometimes it's so bad you can only go a day at a time. Sometimes it's an hour at a time.
Yes.
But then the lawsuit settled, and after all that was said and done, I arrived at zero.
Oh, yes. That's about it. Right. Paying off the lawyer.
That's true. I do not advise anyone to get into that, because it cost me a year of my life, and it did sort of nothing.
Very painful, too.
Very, very, very painful.
Yeah.
And then I went to Germany on a business trip. Mm-hmm. And my father has a stroke, but he didn't have a stroke. He had pancreatic cancer. It was caused by a metastasized tumor in the brain.
Oh.
So my father passes away within 6 weeks
Good
later.
Good heavens.
And as I'm, you know, as I'm at this defining moment on the grave of my father, the phone rings. It's my office in Los Angeles, and I'll be being thrown out of the house as well.
Beata.
So
compound
disaster. Yeah. On top of me, and we're talking about a period of about 3 years.
Aww.
So I think what happens is that, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt says, you don't know how women are like tea bags. You don't know how strong they are until you throw them in hot water.
Yeah, I like that one.
And we sometimes have to go to complete breakdown and for everything to fall apart for us to get the message and to rebuild from scratch.
Why is that? I mean, isn't that, I hear this all the time, and I'm guilty as well. Totally guilty as well of, you know, trying businesses and going down there. Why won't someone? I don't know why that is. Is it hanging in there? Is it just our, we'll hang in there, and then boom,
the discomfort of our existing lives is easier for us to manage than the fear of the unknown.
Well said. That makes sense. Yeah.
So we put up with a lot of the negativity and the bad relationship and the mediocre job and working or living at half of our potential or a fraction of our potential because we are literally afraid of what the other side looks like because we don't know.
Right.
And we are not taught to trust the path.
Yes.
We are not taught to try and, you know, I mean, everyone says, you know, you just got to do it. And then if you fail, that's okay. But that's really not how we're being brought up. We're being brought up to follow a very predictable path.
Yes.
And many of us don't find any happiness in that because who wants to go where everyone else already has been before?
Right.
So
right.
Maybe we need to find our own path in all of that. And so I think when we have these complete entire breakdowns, we just get to the point where our unhappiness with where we are is so powerful that it's stronger than our fear of the unknown.
And, well said.
You know, now we must up the courage because now we don't have a choice.
Right. That's right. We don't have a choice. It's either get up and, you know, get with it, get moving and find some things in your life and work for it or suffer the price. So I want to hear the good stuff. So poor dad suffered and passed away. And then, so you were just like, were you saying, God, why me? What did I do? What?
You know? Actually, I think I threw a full-fledged fit.
Yeah.
I was at the grave and I sank on my knees. I raised my fist and yes, I yelled at God for a good 2 minutes.
Yep.
And I said, if this is a story that has some sort of a plan, this would be, this is the time now to fill me in. I mean, right at this very moment.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that's what I did. And afterward, you know, from this darkest moment to my best moment where I sold my company for millions of dollars, it's only been 18 months.
Wow. Good for you.
So a decade of
that's amazing.
Yeah. So this, you know, decade of bad stuff. Yeah, and then it turns and 18 months later, everything is just completely different.
That is amazing. And what was it that just sort of made that, turned on that light switch for you? What was it that made you just sort of say, I'm done, or there are possibilities, or I can do this?
I think it starts with full surrender.
Yes.
I do believe that when we get to breaking point, we have to detach ourselves of the outcome. And I, in my head, it was very clear to me, you know, I had the bankruptcy attorney on speed dial. If it wasn't going to happen, it wasn't going to happen. You know, at least it was going to drown in the ocean and not in a puddle.
Yes, yes.
And I said, if this is not for me, then that's okay. I'm going to let it go. Else, you know, somehow will come up.
Yes.
But then things turned. You know, I had written a business plan in the meantime. During all this time, and I had written a letter to the President of the United States.
Good heavens. Good for you.
And, you know, great. Who even would think about...
You've got passion, girl. I'll tell you.
And I got a letter from the White House, and it put me in touch with the Small Business Administration and with the business plan, you know, and I had been ready. I mean, I'd done the work.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, things starting to come together, and I get a loan backed by the SBA based upon the business plan that I wrote. I got the funding. It freed up the line of credit long enough. You know, it was 3 months for me to get to profitable, to break even. And, you know, 4 months later, we are profitable. And, you know, another 12 months later, I got to sell the company.
That's amazing.
And, you know, I think the most important part, Michelle, here is to really emphasize that sometimes what we think are our darkest moments are really the biggest blessings, which I said earlier, because the end of the tunnel could be literally just around the corner.
I so agree with you. You know, so many times I encourage folks and, you know, take in the lesson myself. When things happen, negative things or whatever, blockages, or we have whatever, bad months, years, whatever's happening, and we feel like we're trudging, you know, up a hill through a sliding mud or whatever, you know, I always say or encourage people to think, thank you. You know, thank you for this lesson. Oh, God, it hurts. Thank you for this pain. Thank you for this. Oh, this is this. I really need. Thank you for this lesson.
Yeah.
I really need to look at this and think,
I think I call it finding the silver lining.
Great. That's beautifully said. Yeah.
And it's the shift in thinking about what is it about this that I'm not seeing?
Yeah.
What is it about that could be positive? Where is the new thought, the new beginning in this?
That's beautiful. And that's so cool because you incorporate so many of the concepts of, you know, what they call cognitive therapy. But it's true in your book. I mean, you are very much a psychologist because it is about changing your thinking. And it's very realistic that once we detach from the outcome, so true. I think so much about, and a lot of my listeners know that I'm into energy. You know, detaching from the energy and giving it up, you know, and just allowing it to happen, you know. So that's what I do. We have a caller on the line. Shall we take this call?
Oh, absolutely.
See what
Let's see what they have to
say.
See
if this is somebody who can ask us a question. Hi, you're on the air. This is Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Beata Shalette. Who's this? Hello, hello? Hello? I think we're having some air problems here. So I'm going to just let this person call if they want to call back or whatever. By the way, in case you guys want to call back, you can do so. The number here is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. If you're shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can also email me at docmichelle@aol.com. I'd be happy to take your calls here, or I'd be happy to read your emails if you have any particular questions for my guest today. So, by the way, Beata is the author. Her latest book is called Happy Women, We're going to use both. Happy World, the foolproof fix that takes you from overwhelmed to awesome. And we're just talking about how, you know, overwhelmed that, you know, a lot of women feel today. And guys, by the way, please listen. You're going to learn a lot about the way women think.
For and, sure.
You know, how this is not about hating. We ain't men haters. Okay? Let me just put that out there. We love men.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
You're wonderful. We love you. But we're just, you know, kind of talking about how to really understand a lot of women and sort of where we've come. You know, so anyway, give us a call if you'd like. So, you know, what we were just talking about being positive, and I want to touch on that a little bit more because you and I are both on the same page there. It really is a switch in thinking, and it's if we really try to stop. I hate to say the word catastrophizing, but when we get hit so many times as you did, and as so many of us have in life, this, that, you know, whatever the hits are, you know, financial, family. You think, oh, God, I don't know if I can take any more of this. But when we switch our thinking to, you know what, I'm just going to allow, I'm not going to fight, I'm not going to have that resistant thinking of, I got to fight everything, you know, allow whatever unfolds and just one foot in front of the other and do my best to create what I can and what I've tried to set out to.
Absolutely. You know? I think it's all about breaking it down into finding the things about your problems or your adversity that you can control or what you can control over. And mm-hmm. I think especially women have this tendency, we get up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and, you know, we see the 10 pounds, and then instead of just focusing on the 10 pounds and what we can do about it, then we look in our apartment and we think it's crappy and right. The couch needs to be replaced. Our car is old. We didn't get the promotion. And next thing, we somehow mysteriously invite these other 50 negative thoughts. And by, you know, by 8 o'clock, our first cup of coffee, we're already depressed.
Right. Well, that what do they call that? The motion of, you know, those streams of consciousness and the law of attraction thoughts that just keep snowballing, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, that's momentum right there.
Exactly. And we want, and you know, we want to stop that. And in the women's code, I've developed the concept of ecorhythm to really,
I love
you know,
that.
And that's like one of the main ideas is to break it down and say, okay, where are you at right now?
Right.
And what do we focus on? What's our main focus in this one particular rhythm?
Right. Tell us a little bit about the Women's Code and also a little bit more about why you created it.
Well, I created it because when I was going through all of these, you know, through my career and through being a single mom,
sure.
I sort of recognized that women don't really help each other.
Yeah, I've experienced that many times in the workplace and what's going on with that?
You know, and the information that's out there and available is really primarily geared toward men. And men have different leadership principles. Mm-hmm. Men have a different way to go about business. And, you know, and there's nobody needs to beat themselves up over it because, let's face it, all the systems in the workplace were built for men because there were only men that were working when the systems were built.
True.
So now that we see all these women coming in, we now only see how it's not working because either you adapt male principles and then we know what everyone says about the woman that's trying to be the tougher man at work.
Yes, exactly.
She has a terrible reputation.
Sure.
And if we are feminine, then we are being belittled because then we're either trying to get ahead by, you know, being overly sexy or too motherly. But there's no positive, perfect woman leadership model in the business world. And so as I'm going through all of this and I'm looking at the, you know, what's going on in our personal world, so, and I don't say this word very lightly, but there's a lot of bitchy behavior out there.
Well, no, there is. I mean, I have experienced it. But don't you think that there, what I've seen and what I hear is a lot of women think that, you know, they sort of have to adopt that particular stance or behavior in order to be respected or come off like more of a authoritarian man in that same kind of position, I guess.
Yes, that's true. And but then what happens is, and the numbers really show that, is that when we go in the workplace, and I think that's a very scary number, is that when you know, men and women are both bullies to, you know, to about the same percentage.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when women bully, they single out other women, and women bully other women at an 80% rate.
Wow.
So when a man bullies, he bullies half women, half men. He doesn't, he doesn't care.
Right.
But when a woman bullies, she primarily bullies women.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, and I thought about all these problems, and that's why I created the Women's Code, because I felt that someone had to create the language. Someone had to create, I call it the umbrella concept. Rain or shine, here's your umbrella, you're covered.
That's right. Well said.
That you can go out on whether that's a career you want, or whether that's motherhood you want, or you're focusing on the family, that there's something in there for you that makes what you want be okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, that's beautiful. That's really well said. And it, and I know a lot of your online work and, you know, the courses that you teach and everything, you know, of the Women's Code, it really does sort of help women get a handle on sort of how they may be coming off, you know, sometimes to their employees or coworkers or whatever. And there's no reason to. I think sometimes we feel we have to, you know, to be respected. But you're right. You know, you're right.
Well, I also think that the lack of role models is a problem.
So true.
So who is out there that does it successfully? Who is out there that I want to be when I grow up?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's so true. Well, there's you now. So that's awesome. what do you say to people who argue, you know, sometimes women can't have it all? You know, they want to run the big corporations. They want their kids. They want to have wonderful financial, they want to travel, they want to have social lives, they want to have it all. They can't have it all. Come on, nobody can have it all. What do you say to that?
I think they're all wrong. We of course can have everything we want.
That's right. We can. It's just in the way we manage it, right?
It's exactly
time
the
management.
Way, it's time management, and it certainly is not all at the same time.
Yeah. Exactly. And it is. And it's priorities, whatever feels good. And I love the way you talk about your daughter in the book and how she is just like, that's it. She's like the number one love in your life. I mean, because it's true. I mean, that's so wonderful. Our children are the first. I mean, we brought them into this world, and they are the most important beings that we need to nurture and focus on, too.
Absolutely. Well,
that's
now
so
she's
lucky.
21 and she just moved back home. Let's just say we're having a few moments here and there.
Well, I've got a very successful 21-year-old son who owns his own company, so we'll talk later.
All right.
Anyway, by the way, folks, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Beata Shalette. She's a respected career coach, entrepreneur, founder of the Women's Code. Just check it out online, by the way. And we're going to be talking about how you can get a hold of her book, Happy Women, Happy Woman, Happy World, The Foolproof Fix That Takes You From Overwhelmed to Awesome. We got to become awesome no matter what you do. And you can't let the world out there judge you. And you can't go by media standards either.
No.
Young women who are so obsessed with your bodies. That's all I have to say about that. I just get these poor young women.
Oh, it's brutal. I mean, size two.
Please.
You know, perfectly trimmed and out there taking care of yourself, having a career, being successful, you know, marrying the Superman and managing all with ease. I mean,
yes.
It's impossible.
No, it's very difficult, you know, and there's a lot of pressure on the body clock, you know. It's like, I'm 32 and I've had several relationships, but I don't have any relationship right now, and I have to find. It's like, calm down. We're going to work through you. You're fine. Don't let society or the media push you into anything that you want to, that you're going to have to settle for, that you don't want in your life.
Right, to a large degree, it's our own fault because when we look at what is covered in the magazines and the readership of People magazine and us is 85% female.
Yep.
So as long as we are buying it, it will be reported, and as long as we pay attention to it, it will become headliners.
Yeah, so true. Let's talk about ego rhythms. You kind of briefly touched on that. And you talk about we first need to find what you call our ego rhythm. So what are the main types of those things? So what is that all about? How can we find those things?
So egorhythm is basically, I want you to look at your life like a loaf of bread.
Okay.
Okay. So we talk about having it all. So here's your loaf, right? You can have it all. So we can take it, we shove it in our mouth, in our face, and try to take bites here and there. Clearly, that does not work. So what if we were instead to take the bread knife and we cut it into slices? And now with one slice at a time, we can consume the whole thing. We may be putting a few slices in the freezer for later. We may, you know, so we toast some. So each slice may even look a little bit different. And so what if we take this concept and we put this on our lives and we take now, you know, within our head, and we slice our life into slices.
Yeah.
And I call them rhythms. Others call them waves or phases or whatever you want to call them. And so each rhythm usually lasts about 3 to 4 years. So that's what my research has shown. And the main egorhythms that you can be in is a me egorhythm, which a lot of women that are in their 40s go through when the focus is about them, themselves. Then there's a career or educational egorhythm, family or friends. There's a health egorhythm, a love egorhythm, a motherhood egorhythm. Then there's one for bad luck and tragedy, because bad stuff does happen. And there's a transition one, and there's a Zen one, which is a spiritual connection to God or the divine, or, you know, often a sabbatical. So I've identified 9 main egorhythms. And so egorhythms are sort of your sanity lifeline, because if you are a new mom and you just had that baby, please do not try to have a career or get that promotion in the first 3 years. Because you will probably be stressed out by trying to be a good mother and guilty all the time while you pursue your career goals. Rather, you know, focus on being that mom, make that your main focus, and then all decisions you make always are being thought through, is this helping or hurting my main focus? And if that is your main focus, then you know that all choices are being made to assist that main focus.
That's great.
First.
Yes.
And then
yes.
when your kid gets older, and remember, they will become teenagers.
Yes.
And they will not want you or need you in their lives.
True.
So
it's
if you don't enjoy it early on, you may never have that opportunity to really enjoy your kids. And so that's what egorhythm is all about. It gives you permission to be where you are 100% and not stress out over all other 8.
I love that. I also love the concept you present that we never get it all done. So just kind of get that, people. You never have to get it all done. It's okay. Can you elaborate a little bit more?
Yeah, I call it the triple paradox.
Okay.
So in the triple paradox, I gave it a lot of thought, why we are perpetually unhappy.
Yes.
Okay. So we can achieve more than we have ever been able to achieve. We have the, you know, we have great homes, we drive great cars. I mean, everything is available to us, and yet we are at an all-time unhappiness. So why is that?
Right.
And then I looked at it and I recognized that we are really worried about achieving something that we don't really even know what that is. And so when we then do achieve something, we are still unhappy because we have something else that we also want to achieve.
There's always something else.
But we haven't thought about that before. So in the triple paradox, it, you know, one paradox is the superhuman paradox.
Right.
And that's what we talked about. You are a size zero. You have 3 children. You look like Heidi Klum. You cook like Ramsay Gordon. Your house looks like Martha Stewart's.
Right.
You have, you know, earth-shattering sex every night.
Right. There you go.
And, you know, pick up your kids at 3 o'clock and still make the corner office.
That's right. That's right.
And partner at the law firm.
It's
not
mind-boggling.
It can't happen. It's impossible to happen. The second one is the success paradox. That's something that for men and women is really equally important. Is that we say, well, if I only had the promotion, things would be better. And then we get the promotion, and then everyone goes like, well, you got the promotion. We go, well, I still don't have the new car, or I still don't have a girlfriend, or I still don't have a boyfriend. And we put ourselves down, so we don't appreciate our successes.
Right.
So that's really, you know, where the paradox is you got to be very clear about identifying what it is that you want, so that when you get there, that you can shout out hooray and enjoy your success instead of, you know, just chasing one thing after another.
Right. Well said. That's beautiful. I love that. Guys and women, great book here. We're talking about Happy Woman, Happy World. My special guest today is Beata Shalette, a respected career coach, entrepreneur, founder of the Women's Code. And, you know, just this is helping you get up and over the hump of any obstacles that you've experienced or are experiencing in your life, no matter what age. Just how to become sort of awesome from being overwhelmed. And I love that tag. I think that's cool.
Thank you.
Because it is true. I've heard that so many times. Many of my patients say, I'm so overwhelmed. And I would just love to have an awesome life. Like my friend who gets to, no, she doesn't get to, she chooses to.
Yes.
You know, that kind of thing. If you'd like to call in 323-203-0815, you can email me here too on the air if you have any questions for my special guest or myself, Doc Michelle, DOC Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. So let's talk about the core code of conduct for women you talk about in your book. Happy Women, Happy World. What are, you know, some of the important principles that you share about some of the core code of conduct? And I really like that because it's not like you're saying you have to do this. It's just sort of like you're laying it out about what would be a really cool way of sort of approaching things.
Well, the core code of conduct in its simplest, most simplistic form just means treat everyone like you want your daughter to be treated.
Mm. Well said. Exactly.
You know, and I don't think that a lot of the stuff is necessary. Well, in the Women's Code, we talk about looking at other women, you know, when we know what the superhuman paradox is and we know that she's chasing things, mm-hmm. just like we are chasing mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. And we try to tear her down because she got the Martha Stewart stuff down.
Yeah.
But we got the Gordon Ramsay stuff down.
Yeah.
But we don't know that she's not yep. Gordon Ramsay. She sucks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So we tear her down for something that we perceive as her success.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably does the same with us.
Right.
But if we recognize that, you know, what can I learn from her mm-hmm. that may mm-hmm. make me a better cook? Or what can she learn from me to make her house look better or
yeah.
vice versa?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden we are creating what I call the baseline.
Yes.
So the core code of conduct really mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. the understanding that we all at the same baseline,
mm-hmm.
that we need to be connected, that we need each other. And there's lots of study. I'm sure, Michelle, you know what the studies say.
Sure.
Is our need to for community and to connect with each other.
Right.
Men live longer when they have a woman in their life.
Yeah.
Women live longer if they have women in their lives.
Right. A social network of, yes. you know, a lot of time. And the studies show that. And guys, again, we love you. You know, come on, guys. But it's about socialization and the brain being stimulated and being excited and about looking forward to. It's all about thoughts and creating positive thought patterns and connecting and also identifying with. And, you know, let's face it, you know, we can identify. And I'm sure some of the studies show that men who are really, you know, tight with a lot of other men and do have a lot of community groups or whatever, you know, the bonding groups or whatever, they live longer too because
that
they
actually,
have something
that is actually
in common,
true. That
right?
is actually true. And I want to just say yeah. something about that really quickly because mm-hmm. in the Women's Code, you know, it's not about bashing men, to the very contrary, but what it is about, it's
yeah.
about teaching women on how to take the girl stuff
mm.
back to the girls
mm-hmm.
so that we can do the fuzzy hand-holding
mm-hmm.
things that
huh.
men
yeah.
hate. And
yeah.
that men are not so good at. And men are terrible girlfriends.
Yeah. No,
you know?
And that's
we
all good.
We want men to be men.
That's right.
So the women's coach just takes the girl stuff back to the girl so that the men can be men again.
Yes. I like that. You know, and that's really well said. And
okay, so let's go back
yeah.
to some
okay.
of maybe the core okay. conduct principles.
Okay.
So being aware on how my behavior affects others.
Mm-hmm.
Speak the truth.
Yes.
Not making up any stories. Supporting other women in their quest for love, success, and happiness. So if someone wants to get ahead at work,
right.
you know, don't try to hold her back or spread
right.
rumors or
right.
you
right.
know, support her in that. Because
exactly.
otherwise it gets pretty lonely at the top if
it
you're
does.
Only there by
And that's
yourself.
About your own fear, too. You know, it's
yes.
like work through those fear. What are you afraid of? Because, you know, the more the merrier, number one. But we have to embrace that we have our own unique gifts to offer, and someone else who may come in with their gifts,
yes.
they have unique ideas that are going to be helpful too.
Exactly, and that's what it's about. It's in the core conduct. It's not about looking at you and saying, what do you have that I don't have, but looking at you and saying, what do you know yeah. that I don't know.
Yes.
That I can learn from.
That's terrific.
Yes.
That's great. Yeah. So there's some of the other in the code of conduct, you know, we talk about, you know, just sort of helping women learn to have a conduct that yes. is, you know, a little more appropriate.
So, and it's nothing different than we yeah. don't already know.
Yeah. Yeah,
I
yeah.
mean, most yeah. everyone, you know, everyone's mom said, if you have nothing nice to say,
don't say it.
Yeah. Don't say it. Exactly. It's kind of like that. It's just more contemporary on our environments that we really need as women to be very aware of how
right.
we come across and what we do, because
yes.
it's gotten a little out of control in some areas.
It sure has. I agree. Also in your book, you talk about, you know, helping women define what they want. And, you know, finding our passion is a biggie, no matter who we are. It's so important to find, you know, what we want. How do you go about helping women find sort of what they would like?
Oh, I love that.
Okay.
So here's the question I have. So if you were to ask a five-year-old, what would make you really, really happy right now? How long will it take a five-year-old to blurt out the answer?
Right, exactly. 10 seconds.
10 seconds. And right. when I ask the same question in a life event or any woman that I work with, I said, well, tell me, lay it out for me, what would make you really happy? What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Usually we have this awkward moment of silence
mm-hmm.
where
yeah.
we seriously have to think about what it is that we even want.
Yeah.
So if you don't know what makes you happy and if you don't know what you want, then that's the first thing we need to
yeah.
address.
Yes.
Because
yes.
if you don't know what makes you happy, then you can't be happy.
Yes.
So let's find out what makes you happy. So in the Women's Code, we have a wanted all list, and
neat.
For anyone.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
no,
I brought some postcards here.
Oh, that's great.
So we have this free tool. It's called My Wanted All List,
mm-hmm.
and you can download it when you buy the book. You get the links in the book,
mm-hmm.
and we also
neat.
Have these cool little postcards that you put in your purse,
mm-hmm.
where you can just write a few things down as a reminder.
Yes.
That oh okay I want this.
That's
and
right.
So if I get this, then I'm happy because I've defined this as making happy. It's like what we talked about, making that shift
exactly.
in your mind to say, I've identified that the vacation in Hawaii would make me very happy.
Yes.
So when I get to the vacation in Hawaii, now it's like, wow, I did it.
Yes, exactly. And I'm going to take full advantage of being in this beautiful tropical air. Yeah, no, exactly. And there is something about, you know, reminders, or as we call them sometimes, affirmations, if we really, you know, look at them all the time. And, you know, our brain, we train our brains. That's how we learn, is, you know, recall, constant recall, rehearsal, and training our brains. Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, yes, that's right. It's very important to do those things. You know?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that's what I think the first step is for everyone. You know, and if you, for anyone who's live on the
yeah.
call, I really encourage you to do that.
Yes.
As you, you know, have these moments where you go like, oh, wow, that would be so great if I would, you know, write it down and
mm-hmm.
create your wanted all list. So that way, then when you achieve these goals or these ideas
yeah.
or these milestones,
sure.
that you then give yourself permission to celebrate achieving
sure.
them.
Sure, exactly. That's beautifully, beautifully said. You know, I'm going to go psychology because everybody always kind of wants to get a little psychology lesson from the show here on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And my special guest, Beata Shalette, author of the Happy Woman, Happy World book. You know, a lot of my female patients talk about their situations from their upbringing. And I loved it that you discussed this in your book because, I mean, it really does teach people, you know, about our early upbringings and how they affect us. You discussed how, you know, many times parents can be emotionally unavailable. And many of our parents' generation, they were fearful. I mean, they really were. They had a tough time. They were exploring their issues, and they were troubled. And what I find and what I see and what I experienced is that they projected a lot of their insecurities and fears, which is normal. We all do that sometimes without knowledge that we're doing it. You know, they didn't have the knowledge then of how to do it, but they projected that onto us. So sometimes in order to mentally survive, we learn to adopt some of the positive and negative coping skills. So I really did appreciate how you openly shared about your
Thank
upbringing.
You.
And, you know, and I hate to go there, folks, but, you know, because so many sessions people go, oh, you're going to do the blame mommy thing. No, I'm not. I'm going to allow you to tell me what you learned. I'm not going to blame mommy. I'm not going to go Freud on you or Jungian or whoever. But sometimes, you know, a lot of women, and I've seen this, because of, you know, we are modeled by our moms, many women, and by dads too, but more connected with moms. That's how we learn how to be women in the world, basically. So a lot of women I see, you know, really have had trouble connecting with other women. For some reason, our moms were in that generation where they weren't allowed to sort of be who they are, speak out, to connect with other women. They had duties, they had jobs, or their own insecurities from their upbringings, fears. So we never really learned how to just kind of be cool and have friends and chill out. There was always like a maybe a fear or a competition or, you know, that's creepy stuff. But I mean, a lot of us sort of grew up with that. So can you kind of share some of those stories or a little bit of what you learned?
Yes, sure. I mean, I think the most difficult thing for me was growing up that my mother seemed to always be under the impression that every other woman was jealous of her.
Okay.
And
heard that.
I'm a child and I don't understand that.
No.
Because it was like, well, you know, there's this example that I tell, and it's called Yellow Roses. Mm-hmm. So my mother would, you know, when someone came to a visit and she got a hostess gift, oftentimes, you know,
right,
you get flowers.
Sure.
And so when someone gave her a bouquet of flowers mm-hmm. that had yellow roses, she would immediately say, oh, she's jealous of me because yellow roses symbolize jealousy.
Wow.
And, you know, and you try to logically understand, then you go like, what? First of all, if that was a known fact, why would anyone in their own right mind
right.
bring someone yellow
right.
roses?
So if someone sends her red roses and it's a woman, does that mean she's in love with her, I guess, or something? Right.
Nonsensical.
Nonsensical.
You know, now
exactly.
we can say it made no sense.
Sure.
But back then, I mean, she was convinced
yes.
of that. So, and it happened so many times that at the end of the day, I was like, okay, all women must be jealous.
Yeah,
and
sure.
so, you know, and then you say you can't trust another woman and women are all backstabbers and, you know,
yeah.
women want your husband and
Aww.
Women want this and that
yeah.
and that. And they're just jealous of what great kids I have. And I'm going like, well, but we are family like any other family.
Yeah.
You know, stuff didn't go well.
Right.
You know, we fought. We
exactly.
had problems.
Everybody does.
Everyone kind of does. And so I found myself growing up and really not trusting any woman. And my mother was, you know, was really the one who couldn't be trusted. Because
right.
what I was saying to her in confidence,
yeah.
oftentimes in a fight or in an argument
right.
or... she would reveal some of these very personal things
yes.
to her mother, who
sure.
then proceeded to exploit
yes.
that
yes.
And beat me up over
yep.
with that type of stuff.
Sure.
So I really learned from my mother not to trust any woman, especially my
sure.
mother.
Well, sure, we
and,
do.
You know, and that
yeah.
we carry into our adult lives. And if you can't trust the first woman you've met, your mom,
yes.
you're really missing something at your very core.
Yes.
So it took me a long time to recognize that other women have the same issues.
Yes.
That if I put a room of women together and I said, who in here feels that they have everything and they're truly happy, not one hand goes up.
Right.
Right.
Isn't it fascinating?
Yeah. If we all feel that way, then wait a minute.
Yeah. What's wrong with this picture?
What's
we have
wrong
to just
with
come
this
together
picture?
And really
and that
trust.
Is, you're so right. And that's, I think, the part where you know, the psychology comes in that you teach
yeah.
is to understand is that we are not alone in this.
Yes.
It's very common, but there comes a point where you've got to get past that.
Yeah, it's so true. And some people need tools to get past that. And we are sort of coming to a hard break here. We've got the CBS News coming up in a little bit. But I want to... ask you, how can listeners get in touch with you, find out more about the Women's Code? And, you know, I mean, also you have a 7 steps to making your career happen right now, and also get a copy of your book, Happy Women or Happy Woman, Happy World.
All right. Well, thank you. Well, first
sure.
of all, the book, Happy Woman, Happy World, is loaded with tools. I think we have like 7 ways to interact
nice.
And download additional tools, because it's really all about, we talk about it and then we do it. And then we talk
yes.
about it and we do it.
Yes.
You know, this isn't one of those on the couch kind of things. I
yeah.
mean, this is very interactive.
Yes.
You find
great.
The book on Amazon as a print version and as an ebook. You can go to the website, happywomanhappyworld.com. From there on, we have all the links on where the book's available. It comes with a free balance training. All you have to do is send us a receipt, and you know, we'll get you balanced in 15 minutes.
Wow.
And the website is found on thewomenscode.com, and you can take the free balance test at thewomenscode.com/balance test and find out if you're in or out of balance.
I took the balance test.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I'm sort of half out of balance, so we'll talk. No. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I mean, it was great talking with you. I have so many other questions. I always overdo.
I know. We just started.
We just got the tip of the iceberg here. And this is great because you all can find out more. And if you have any questions or comments, you know, you can check out the website here on LA Talk Radio. And, of course, the show will be up for replay and or download tomorrow right here on my webpage on LA Talk Radio. And, of course, you can get in touch with Beata Shillette if you'd like. Find out more about how to make your life better. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Once again, as I always do say before I leave, do take care of yourself first. Then you'll be great for others. That's the way it works. It's not narcissistic. It's the way of the world. See? Thanks for listening, everybody. Love you all. Next week, how to make your relationships better. You're going to start with yourself. I'm a mean person, aren't I? Talk to you later. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Got you on my mind again tonight. I see you flashing red.